Welcome to the GCSE Physics Podcast, your go-to audio guide for exam success. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and high-value topics in the entire OCR physics specification, nuclear fission and fusion. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts, walk through what examiners are actually looking for, tackle common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Nuclear fission and fusion are both processes that release enormous amounts of energy from the nucleus of an atom. And I mean enormous, we're talking about the energy that powers nuclear power stations, and in the case of fusion, the energy that powers the sun itself. These processes are fundamentally different from chemical reactions like burning fuel. In a chemical reaction, electrons rearrange between atoms. In nuclear reactions, the nucleus itself changes, and because the nucleus holds so much more energy than electron bonds, the energy released is millions of times greater. That's the key insight that makes nuclear physics so important. Now let's talk about fission first. Nuclear fission is the splitting of a large, unstable nucleus into two smaller daughter nuclei. But here's the crucial detail that examiners love to test. Fission doesn't just happen spontaneously on its own in a reactor. It has to be induced. A slow-moving neutron is fired at and absorbed by a large nucleus, typically uranium-235. That absorption makes the nucleus unstable and it splits apart. This is called induced nuclear fission, and that word induced is important. Make sure you use it. When the nucleus splits, several things are produced. You get two smaller daughter nuclei. These are new elements, typically things like barium and krypton, though you don't need to memorize specific products. You also get two or three neutrons released, and this is the key to the chain reaction, which we'll come back to in a moment. And you get gamma radiation released as well. So the products of fission are daughter nuclei, neutrons, and gamma radiation. Learn that list. Now, the energy released comes from a conversion of mass into energy. This is Einstein's famous equation, E equals mc squared. The total mass of the products is very slightly less than the mass of the original nucleus plus the neutron. That tiny difference in mass, called the mass defect, is converted into a huge amount of energy. This is really important for exam purposes. Never say energy is created in fission or fusion. Energy is not created. Mass is converted into energy. If you write energy is created, you will lose marks because it violates the law of conservation of energy. Let's talk about the chain reaction. When one fission event releases two or three neutrons, those neutrons can go on to hit other uranium-235 nuclei, causing more fission events, which release more neutrons, which cause more fission events, and so on. This is a chain reaction, and it's self-sustaining. In a nuclear reactor, the goal is to control this chain reaction so that on average, exactly one neutron from each fission event goes on to cause another fission. That gives a steady, controlled release of energy. In a nuclear bomb, the chain reaction is uncontrolled. It grows exponentially and releases all the energy at once. The reactor is the controlled version, the bomb is the uncontrolled version. So how does a nuclear reactor control the chain reaction? This is a really common extended response question worth 5 or 6 marks. So let's go through each component carefully. First, the fuel. Uranium-235 is the fuel. It's the large, unstable nucleus that gets split. Second, the moderator. The neutrons released in fission are actually moving too fast to be absorbed efficiently by other uranium-235 nuclei. They need to be slowed down. The moderator, which is typically graphite or water, does exactly this. Neutrons collide with the atoms in the moderator and lose kinetic energy, slowing down to what we call thermal speeds. At thermal speeds, they're much more likely to be absorbed by a uranium-235 nucleus and cause another fission event. So the moderator sustains the reaction by slowing neutrons. Third, the control rods. These are made of materials like boron or cadmium that absorb neutrons. By raising or lowering the control rods into the reactor core, engineers can control how many neutrons are available to cause fission. Push the control rods in further, they absorb more neutrons, the reaction slows down. Pull them out, fewer neutrons are absorbed, the reaction speeds up. If there's an emergency, the control rods are dropped fully into the core to shut the reaction down completely. Now, here is the single most common mistake I see candidates make, and it costs them marks every single time. Do not confuse the moderator with the control rods. They do completely different jobs. The moderator slows neutrons down. It's about speed. The control rods absorb neutrons. It's about quantity. Moderator equals slow. Control rods equal absorb. Say it with me. Moderate means slow. Control means absorb. Fourth, the coolant. The heat generated by fission is carried away by a coolant, usually water or carbon dioxide gas, which flows through the reactor core. This heat is then used to produce steam, which drives a turbine, which drives a generator to produce electricity. So the energy pathway is nuclear energy in the fuel, to thermal energy in the coolant, to kinetic energy in the turbine, to electrical energy from the generator. Fifth, the shielding. Thick concrete walls surround the reactor to absorb gamma radiation and prevent it from escaping into the environment. Now let's move on to nuclear fusion. Fusion is the opposite process. It's the joining together of two light nuclei to form a larger nucleus. The most common example is the fusion of hydrogen isotopes. Deuterium and tritium fuse together to form helium-4, releasing a neutron and a huge amount of energy. This is the reaction that powers the sun and all other stars. Fusion releases even more energy per kilogram of fuel than fission, and the fuel, hydrogen isotopes, is far more abundant than uranium. There's also very little radioactive waste compared to fission. So why aren't we using fusion for all our electricity? The answer is the conditions required. For fusion to happen, the two nuclei need to get extremely close together, close enough for the strong nuclear force to take over and bind them. But both nuclei are positively charged, and like charges repel. This electrostatic repulsion is enormous at the nuclear scale. To overcome it, the nuclei need to be moving incredibly fast, which means they need to be at extremely high temperatures. We're talking about temperatures of around 100 million degrees Celsius or more. At those temperatures, matter exists as a plasma. Electrons are stripped away from nuclei entirely. This is why fusion is so difficult to achieve on Earth. You need to contain a plasma at 100 million degrees, and no physical container can withstand that temperature. Current experimental reactors like JET in the UK and the International ITER project use powerful magnetic fields to contain the plasma. This is called magnetic confinement. So far, no fusion reactor has produced more energy than it consumes, though scientists are getting closer. The promise of fusion is almost unlimited clean energy, which is why it's one of the most exciting areas of physics research today. For your exam, the key phrase to use when explaining why fusion requires high temperatures is, the nuclei must have sufficient kinetic energy to overcome the electrostatic repulsion between the positively charged nuclei. Don't just say, like, charges repel. Say electrostatic repulsion and link it explicitly to kinetic energy and temperature. Now let's talk about nuclear equations. You may be asked to balance a nuclear equation for fission or fusion. The rules are straightforward. The mass numbers, the top numbers, must balance on both sides, and the atomic numbers, the bottom numbers, must also balance on both sides. For example, if uranium-235 absorbs a neutron, the mass number on the left is 235 plus 1, which equals 236. The products must also have mass numbers that add up to 236. Similarly, the atomic numbers must balance. A neutron has mass number 1 and atomic number 0. Gamma radiation has no mass number and no atomic number, it's just energy. Practice balancing these equations, they come up regularly and are straightforward marks if you know the rules. Now let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. I want to go through the 5 most important things to get right. Number 1, always say induced fission. The neutron is absorbed and induces the fission. It doesn't just happen by itself. Number 2, never say energy is created. Mass is converted into energy. E equals mc squared, always. Number 3, don't confuse the moderator and control rods. Moderator slows neutrons. Control rods absorb neutrons. These are tested directly in exam questions. Number 4, for fusion, always mention electrostatic repulsion explicitly. Don't just say, like, charges repel. Use the term electrostatic repulsion and link it to kinetic energy and temperature. Number 5, when balancing nuclear equations, check both mass numbers and atomic numbers balance. Don't just check one. For 6-mark extended response questions on nuclear reactors, structure your answer using the components. Fuel, then moderator, then control rods, then coolant, then shielding. This ensures you cover all the marking points systematically and don't miss anything. One more thing on exam technique. Watch out for the command word. If the question says state, give a short factual answer, 1 or 2 words, or a brief phrase. If it says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because to link cause and effect. If it says describe, say what happens using correct terminology. If it says evaluate, consider advantages and disadvantages and make a judgment. Now for our quickfire recall quiz, I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what is absorbed by a uranium-235 nucleus to induce fission? Pause. The answer is a slow-moving neutron. Question two, name the three products of a fission event. Pause. The answer is two daughter nuclei, two or three neutrons, and gamma radiation. Question three, what is the role of the moderator in a nuclear reactor? Pause. The answer is to slow neutrons down to thermal speeds so they can be absorbed by uranium-235 nuclei. Question four, what is the role of the control rods? Pause. The answer is to absorb neutrons and control the rate of the chain reaction. Question five, why does fusion require extremely high temperatures? Pause. The answer is the nuclei need sufficient kinetic energy to overcome the electrostatic repulsion between the positively charged nuclei. Question six, what happens to mass during fission or fusion? Pause. The answer is a small amount of mass is converted into energy, described by E equals mc squared. How did you do? If you got all six, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Nuclear fission is the splitting of a large nucleus, typically uranium-235, induced by the absorption of a slow-moving neutron. Products are two daughter nuclei, two or three neutrons, and gamma radiation. The released neutrons sustain a chain reaction. In a reactor, the moderator slows neutrons, control rods absorb neutrons to control the rate, coolant transfers heat, and concrete shielding absorbs radiation. Nuclear fusion is the joining of two light nuclei, typically hydrogen isotopes, to form a larger nucleus, releasing enormous energy. It requires extremely high temperatures, around 100 million degrees, so that nuclei have enough kinetic energy to overcome electrostatic repulsion. Fusion powers the sun and is the focus of future clean energy research. In both processes, mass is converted into energy according to E equals mc squared. Never say energy is created. That's it for today's episode. You've covered everything OCR expects you to know about fission and fusion. Remember, revise actively, test yourself, don't just reread. Good luck in your exams, and I'll see you in the next episode.